you have work to do, so you sit down at your computer and you start doing that work, but pretty soon your mind starts drifting, and before you know it, you've clicked over to Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and you start checking things out in social media. And before you even realize it, time has gone by and you've wasted it online when you should have been doing something else. Well, what if every time you did that, your computer sent you a little message? And I don't mean a visual message, but a shocking message. An actual shock through the keyboard when you were going to those social media sites instead of doing what you were supposed to be doing. That's the idea behind the Pavlov Poke, which was created by two guys at MIT, Robert Morris and Dan McDuff. And Robert joins us now. Hi, Rob. Welcome to America Weekend.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Tell me why you created the Pavlov Poke.
Yes. So I'm a PhD student at MIT, and so is Dan McDuff, the co-creator. And we are trying to finish our dissertations. And we experienced what you were just describing at the top of the segment, which is, you know, I'd go online and I'd attempt to look something up research-related, maybe on Wikipedia or on a scholarly site. And without even realizing it, my fingers would start to type, you know, www.f, and then Facebook would appear, and I'd log in, I'd start looking at photos, I'd be browsing around for, you know, minutes or even an hour without even realizing I had no really conscious intention to do so. So at that point, I realized, boy, I really have a habit here. I also had read some interesting data about use of some social media and its implications for well-being, and how it's not always clear that they are great for the well-being of the user. So these kinds of things pulled together, we wanted to come up with the most ridiculous kind of intervention we could think of, just for our own selves, and also mainly to spark a conversation about the addictive properties of social media, and just to describe the kind of unusual lengths we went to here at MIT to help ourselves stay focused.
You actually built one of these.
Yeah, we did. We built a shocking apparatus, and there's another component too, where if you're on Facebook too long, I have a little piece of computer code that calls a bunch of crowd workers. These are people online ready to do work for some money. And if I'm on Facebook too long, they get called, recruited to call my phone number and yell at me. So I'll be working on Facebook, and, you know, I may have not realized I actually wanted to be there, and the phone will ring and someone will start yelling at me, telling me to be more productive and so forth. So, yeah, we built both versions. They work, and we used them for a couple weeks or so.
Which one of you was the first guinea pig to get shocked?
I think I was the first, but Dan, my co-creator, was definitely more brave than me. In the course of developing it, there was a lot of shocks that happened accidentally, and he got the brunt of those, I think.
We're not talking about a major shock here, just a little...
just a little tiny sort of a jolt, but it's not particularly pleasant. You can change how intense you want the shock to be, but our intentions were just to hack something up pretty quickly, so we probably didn't spend as much time as we should have on calibrating the shock intensity.
Now, you know that if you put this on the market, there would be people who did buy this, but you aren't, are you?
No, for us, the main point of this project was to create a technological artifact that, in some sense, was sort of an art project and meant mainly to inspire discussion and sort of get people thinking about this issue rather than a legitimate intervention. That being said, after producing this project, a lot of people saw it, and we are now aware of at least one or two companies who are actively trying to build something similar. So while it's not sort of my priority, or I'm not even sure it's necessarily a good intervention technique, there are people exploring this idea.
What about the liabilities, I wonder?
Yeah, I think liability is a huge issue. It brings up a lot of ethical concerns for me. I also think that the research on negative reinforcement as a behavior change kind of method is not great. So, you know, ideally there are lots of other perhaps less ludicrous ways to help people with social media addiction. But I think there's still a huge space, and, you know, I think it's worth exploring lots of different things.
On the FAQ on your website, which is?
Oh, yeah. The website where you can look at this, it's robertrmorris.org.
Okay, so on that website, you've got an FAQ, and one of the questions is, can I hook this up to my kids so they stop using the computer all day? And the response you put was, yikes, please don't. Why?
Yeah, exactly. I think there's a danger with these kinds of technologies that someone might, put it on a person or hook it up to a person who maybe is too young or is in a position where they can't consent to it. That's the issue. So I think if, you know, you're consenting to do this and it helps you, I'm fine with that. But for this technology to actually be released, you know, as a product, I think the makers would have to really think very hard about how to produce it in such a way that there's no possibility that someone's going to get hooked up to it. Now, the form factor we used is such that, you know, you're not strapped in, and it's pretty easy to avoid it if you're not interested in using that behavior method. But, it's definitely a concern for these types of things. And there's some precedent for these kinds of interventions for like alcoholism. There's something called Antabuse, which is a pill people can take, and if they drink while taking the pill, they will have very, very severe reactions. So there have been some successful ways to use negative reinforcement, but anytime you do that, you're absolutely right. There's ethical quandaries that come right up.
I have put a link on our Facebook page. The America Weekend Facebook page has a link to where people can see the Pavlov poke, and you and Dan both trying it out on yourself. Mm-hmm. After you did that, by the way, did it change your online habits?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. So, you know, as a scientist, I can't say where this intervention would work for everyone, but I can speak to, you know, my own experience, which was after a lot of shock exposures where I was getting, you know, going on Facebook and immediately getting negative reinforcement. After a little while, what was really interesting was these sort of mindless, automatic motor tendencies to just start typing in the URL and go there without thinking about it, those really dropped off. So it sort of rewired this automatic habit, I feel, for me at least. So that gave me opportunity to really think a little bit harder. And I've now since implemented some other tools that are available on the internet to help me, reduce my Facebook usage.
Yeah, it's funny that I just promoted the fact that people can see what you've done by going to the America Weekend Facebook page. We're encouraging more Facebook use here. But have you also given some thought about how Facebook needs people to really be addicted to succeed?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. I mean, I think one of the problems with some of these sites is that a lot of the designers and developers are really motivated by something called engagement metrics, which is, you know, measuring how long you're on the site, how often you log in, these types of measurements. And you can over, you know, millions of people really fine-tune the most optimal way to get people to be engaged with the product. Now, unfortunately, engagement doesn't always correlate with the well-being of the user. So you could build a product that's really engaging, but over time, for certain people, may not be, you know, a great use of their time, or in some cases may reduce their well-being. I don't think you can compare Facebook to cigarettes, but there's a similar principle there where cigarettes are built on being really addictive and habit forming. And yet, you know, use of them is not necessarily good for the people smoking. So it's a similar sort of issue of the product is being continually refined to engage its users. And I would like to see more efforts on Facebook and social media in general to also have a goal in tandem that says, okay, while we're getting people to use our product, what's the best way that they can use this product healthfully so that their well-being is maximized?
Well, I know it's not a real device, but I wish we could hook it up to all those people who are testing out Google Glass right now, because I think that's going to be even more annoying than the Facebook addiction. It's great stuff, and I'll send people again to robertrmorris.org who want to see the Pavlov poke. Thanks for telling me about it today, Robert.
Yeah, no problem. Nice to talk to you.
I'm Paul Harris. This show is on every Saturday and Sunday. We hope you'll make it a habit. It's called America Weekend from the Envision Radio Networks.